The treadmill pump.
Still, he made a point to kiss her before he walked to his dressing chamber, allowed the servants to array him in a robe of gray and violet, stepped into the sealskin boots, and went out to meet the bearer of the bad tidings. "It's the Daikani, mine most high," the man said, taking a pose of apology formal enough for a temple. "It failed in the night. They say the lower passages are already half a man high with water." Beitra cursed, but took a pose of thanks all the same. Together, they walked through the wide main hall of the second palace. The caves shouldn't have been filling so quickly, even with a failed pump. Something else had gone wrong. He tried to picture the shape of the Daikani mines, but the excavations in the mountains and plains around Machi were numbered in the dozens, and the details blurred. Perhaps 4 ventilation shafts. Perhaps 6. He would have to go and see. His private guard stood ready, bent in poses of obeisance, as he came out into the street. 10 men in ceremonial mail that, for all its glitter, would turn a knife. Ceremonial swords and daggers honed sharp enough to shave with. Each of his 2 brothers had a similar company, with a similar purpose. And the time would come, he supposed, that it would descend to that. But not today. Not yet. He had a pump to fix. He stepped into the waiting chair and 4 porters came out. As they lifted him to their shoulders, he called out to the messenger. "Follow close," he said, his hands flowing into a pose of command with the ease of long practice. "I want to hear everything you know before we get there." They moved quickly through the grounds of the palaces, the famed towers rising above them like forest trees above rabbits, and into the black cobbled streets of Machi. Servants and slaves took abject poses as Beitra passed. The few members of the Utkayam awake in the city streets took less extreme stances, each appropriate to the difference in rank between themselves and the man who might one day renounce his name and become the Kai Machi. Beitra hardly noticed. His mind turned instead upon his passion, the machinery of mining, water pumps and ore graves and hauling winches. He guessed that they would reach the low town at the mouth of the mine before the fast sun of early spring had moved the width of 2 hands. They took the south road, the mountains behind them. They crossed the sinuous stone bridge over the Tadat, the water below them still smelling of its mother glacier. The plain spread before them, farmsteads and low towns and meadows green with new wheat. Trees were already pushing forth new growth. It wouldn't be many weeks before the lush spring took root, grabbing at the daylight that the winter stole away. The messenger told him what he could, but it was little enough, and before they had reached the halfway point, a wind rose, waffling in Beitra's ears and making conversation impossible. The closer they came, the better he recalled these particular mines. They weren't the first that House Daikani had leased from the Kai. Those had been the ones with 6 ventilation shafts. These had 4. And slowly, more slowly than it once had, his mind recalled the details, spreading the problem before him like something written on slate or carved from stone. By the time they reached the first outbuildings of the low town, his fingers had grown numb, his nose had started to run from the cold. He had 4 different guesses as to what might have gone wrong, and 10 questions in mind whose answers would determine whether he was correct. He went directly to the mouth of the mine, forgetting to stop for even bread and tea. Hiyami sat by the brazier, knotting a scarf from silk thread and listening to a slave boy sing old tunes of the empire. Almost forgotten emperors loved and fought, lost, won, and died in the high, rich voice. Poets and their slave spirits, the Andat, waged their private battles sometimes with deep sincerity and beauty, sometimes with bedroom humor and bawdy rhymes, but all of them ancient. She couldn't stand to hear anything written after the Great War that had destroyed those faraway palaces and broken those song-recalled lands. The new songs were all about the battles of the Kayem, 3 brothers who held claim to the name of Kai. 2 would die. 1 would forget his name and doom his own sons to another cycle of blood. Whether